Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing Psalter 100, stanzas 1 and 2. Forever trusting in the Lord, take heed to do his will. So shalt thou dwell within the land, so shalt thou dwell within the land, and he thy needs shall fill. 1 and 2 of Psalter 100.
Gospel according to John, thereof chapter 12, the first 26 verses. But before that, we shall read the law of our God, as it can be found in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We repeat John 12, the first 26 verses. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of her Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came, not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Thus far.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mrs. Henny van Hagenbosch, who went to the Netherlands as her mother is very sick. Reverend Bazin came home from the hospital yesterday. Robin Vandenhoek hopes to travel to Tanzania this Tuesday. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, it is again in the beginning of this thy holy day that we may receive the opportunity in thy providence and in thy goodness, and that we may come round about thy word once again. And thou art the omniscient God, of whom David said, thou knewest when I was in my mother's womb. And thou knowest all that lives in our hearts also in this morning hour. The manner in which we have come up unto thy house. For by nature it is a form and custom taught to us by our father and by our mother, and indeed a custom well kept by many among us, for which we may acknowledge thee. But when it never becomes more than a custom, then it shall be with us as it was, as thy servant did say, I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. We stand in need of thy power. Thy servant did beseech thee. He longed to see thy power and thy glory, so as he had seen thee in the sanctuary, in that place where thou meetest with thy children, under thy own institutions. Lord, we ask of thee, who art the same yesterday, today, and forever, and in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, that thou may look upon us in this morning hour, that thou may bless thy word, that thou may send forth thy spirit, and that thou may grant us new life, and that thou may grant new loves, a new heart, a new affection, which we cannot give unto ourselves, because we are lovers of ourselves, of this world, and of sin. And there is no man that seeketh after thee. We are with all of this world, all turned aside. We are turned every one after his own way. Oh, that thou may remember us, for thou hast brought us under thy truth. Lord, wilt thou also grant the application? Thy servant did say, he brought me up out of an horrible pit, And thou knowest those that do experience that it is an horrible pit. Wilt thou grant us to feel our poverty? Grant us to feel our misery and the horribleness of that pit of sin and death that we have brought ourselves into. Oh, give us to feel that we are not able to deliver ourselves from it. Because when we never experience our impossibility, and then we never need Thee. The strength, the power of Thine only begotten Son, who has given Himself even unto death, in order that He may pay that awful price, that debt that is due, and that it cannot be done away with except that it be satisfied. O Lord, we beseech Thee, whose wisdom, whose knowledge, whose thoughts are very deep, and who has known from eternity all that should happen, according to Thy most holy and wise decree, that Thou hast made a blessed covenant with Thine only begotten Son, and an unbreakable covenant with Him who cannot lie, and who has said, "Lo, I come." In the volume of the book it is written of me, "I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart." Lord, Thou knowest all that He has accomplished. Thou knowest the great humiliation that Thou hast required of Him. And Thou knowest that He has also cried out upon that cursed tree, "It is finished." So that there is nothing left to be accomplished anymore by Thy church. They experience the impossibility. But Lord, grant them also open eyes, that they may behold a finished work, that they may see not only that they cannot do, but also that they do not need to do anymore, because Thou hast done it all, and then there is nothing but to receive it out of free and sovereign grace. All the riches that are laid away for a rebellious, a wicked, a stiff-necked people, then it can only be that they learn to serve Thee out of gratitude when their hearts do melt under Thy great goodness to the chiefest of the sinners. O Lord, we beseech Thee that Thou may open the eyes of Thy children. They are in the midst of the warfare, and they so often fear to perish. But there is no perishing anymore, because there is no more curse that is connected to that law, because it is received all of faith. And that curse that has been carried by Thine only begotten Son, and there is nothing left but blessing. Oh, that thou may give that new obedience, and that obedience that may flow out of a believing heart. Oh, when thou wilt open the eyes, and then they may see, then they may believe, and then thy name does receive all the honor and all the glory. Oh, what wilt thou do, Lord, unto thy great name? All that thou hast accomplished, and that cannot, thou canst not receive the glory, except thou wilt open it unto thy children, and that thou, they may receive the knowledge of it within, and that they may taste the savor of it, and that they may experience the power of it by renewal, and that the meek may eat and be satisfied, and that thy word may go open from the beginning to the end, and that one blessed message of thee, wherein thou grantest grace, 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 unto those who are so undeserving. O Lord, we beseech thee, that thou may come among us. It is so necessary, and that we begin to see our sin, that is opened unto us, because the whole need not a physician. And it is so necessary that also that way of deliverance be opened unto us, in order that gratitude may flow forth. All those three things that are so necessary to know, that we may live in comfort, and that we may die in peace. Lord, look on us. Remember all those that have special needs known unto thee. Look on those that mourn, the widower, the widows, all those who miss a father, mother, loved ones, children. Lord, wilt thou supply in the midst of that misery that we experience due to our own sin, that thy goodness may be felt, experienced, manifested, even despite us. Remember the sick, the mother of her that has gone to her fatherland again. Lord, thou knowest all the circumstances, all that thou may supply with them. And wilt thou remember her in the condition wherein she is, when it seems to go unto the grave? If she may yet be alive, O Lord, that thou would prepare to meet thee and supply for all about her. Wilt thou be with all the afflicted and the sick ones, those that receive treatments, those who suffer from serious diseases, wilt thou grant unto them a supply from the great physician who is able for the body as well as for the soul, and give to experience a greater need within for a perishing soul than the perishing body that goes unto the grave. Lord, thou knowest that each and every one of us do experience from time to time the weakness of our bodies, the frailty of life, messages that come unto us that do say unto us that we have here no continuing city. Oh, that we might learn to seek one to come, and that we may receive that happiness, that gladness of thy people. Wilt thou look upon thy servant who may come home from the hospital in the day of yesterday, and then he is not able to go before his flock in this day? But wilt thou remember him in his place and supply, when he stands in need of strength from thee, that he may be able to continue the labors amongst his flock once again? Grant him a blessing for his own soul, out of which he may be given to speak with freedom and with liberty. Remember her that hopes to travel in the week to come, when she will give aid unto those who have less than we. Wilt thou watch over and protect her when she is away from her family, and wilt thou bring her safely again? Remember those to whom she goes, that thou may also grant unto them a place at thy footstool, the knowledge of thee in the midst of darkness, the darkness that we have brought into this world. Wilt thou look upon all those that help those that have not sufficient strength, those that come to the aid of all that are hurt? Wilt thou remember doctors, nurses, first responders? Wilt thou watch over and protect in the circumstances that they must sometimes bring themselves, and that thou may be near and dear unto them? Remember thy servants. Increase their number if it could please thee, when in the months to come the curatorium hopes to meet again. Could it please thee, O Lord, to gladden us by thy deeds, that thou may thrust forth into thy service those whom thou choosest? Not those who are able with their own strength. Oh, take it away, and give a reliance upon thee. Oh, that thou would thrust them out, then they cannot stay, and then thy word will go forth with power. The students, the teachers in our theological school, look upon them. Bless them. Remember him also, that in the coming months, if thou wilt give it, it will go forth to speak in the congregations. Lord, thou knowest what lives within his heart. Thou knowest the mountains that can be within. Oh, we ask of thee that thou may give him a little quietness in these months, when those mountains, they will grow. Oh, that thou may give him a little faith to believe in thee, to rest in thee, to trust in thee, and to cast all his burdens upon thee. Wilt thou supply for thy servants? Look upon all that cannot be with us in this morning. Wilt thou remember them when they listen to church telephone or are not able? Grant a Sabbath day's blessing. Help us to bring thy word, O Lord, that thou may stand on our right and on our left, that thou may give us a little strength in our body, which we stand in need of, and that thou may fill us, and not only with words, but with matter, and that we may be able to bring forth new and old things out of thy law. Oh, bless then thy word, and give us clarity also for the children's sake, and that Thy Spirit may teach us knowledge. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 203, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. In sweet communion, Lord, with Thee, I constantly abide. My hand Thou holdest in Thy own to keep me near Thy side. We announce, the Lord willing, there will be a consistory meeting this week, Wednesday, March the 4th at 7:30 p.m. The last collection today is for the Calvin Christian School. Psalter 203, 1, 2, 3, and 5.
Thank you.
Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you from the Gospel of John, the 12th verse, thereof the verses, the 12th chapter, the verses 23 through 26. John 12, verses 23 through 26. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." So far in the words of our text. Christ teaches his disciples in the way to glory. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. First, the way of the disciples. Second, the way of Christ. And third, the way of following. Christ teaches his disciples the way to glory. First, the way of the disciples. Second, the way of Christ. And third, the way of following. The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Who is speaking? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the Son of Man himself. Then he is speaking about his own glorification. When? Well, he is in the very midst of his humiliation. And he is actually going forth. He is on the very verge of the very deepest part of his humiliation. That is the climax of all his suffering. When he will go into judgment, when he will come upon a cursed tree, and when he will pour out the blood of his life, even unto death, when he will with his body go down into the grave, when he will in his soul descend into hell. And then the Lord Jesus, he is speaking here about his glorification. Why does he speak about his glorification? Well, that word of Christ that is actually an answer. He is giving an answer to a request. It is a request of his own disciples. We read of Andrew and Philip. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And then what is Jesus' answer? Jesus answered them, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." We do not read that the Lord Jesus said to them, "Bring those Greeks to me." We do not read that the Lord Jesus actually showed himself to them or that he spoke with them. Why not? Is that not a good thing? That those Greeks, they wanted to see Jesus. Well, we read about Herod, that he a long time wanted to see Jesus. Because he wanted to see some miracle done by him. And when he saw Jesus, then we read that Jesus answered him not a word. But there was never a leper, and there was never a blind man, and there was never a layman that has come to Jesus that the Lord Jesus has ignored or that he has sent away. Thus do we ask why that we receive no answer from Jesus. Then we may ask, how do we come to him? And why do we need him? What is that for? Is there anything for Jesus to do for us? The Lord Jesus, he turns to his disciples. And he gives an answer to his disciples. He teaches them. He instructs them. And those disciples, they are in very much need of instruction. Why? They were so glad. They were so glad when those Greeks, they came to them. And they are asking we would see Jesus. Why? Because Jesus, that is their master. And they love Jesus. And now they hear these Greeks. These are people, they come from far away. So that name of Jesus, that name of their master, that name of their king, that has now gone far through this world. And so that it is not only Jewish people, but it is even the Gentile people from far lands. Oh, they have heard the name of Jesus and they are coming and they are inquiring after the Lord Jesus. They also receive some honor because they are the ambassadors of the Lord Jesus. So they come to them as the ambassadors and they have to go to the king. And they must ask that king if these Greeks, they may receive a little hearing from him for a few moments. Oh, they are so glad. They were so afraid to come back. They were so afraid to come back to Judea. Why? The Lord Jesus, he had said to them, "We must go to Judea again." They say, "Master, the Jews of late they sought to stone thee, and wouldest thou go thither again?" Oh, they were so afraid. But the Lord Jesus says, "No, we must go. Lazarus sleepeth. Lazarus is dead." Now they have come back. And Lazarus, he is raised from the dead. What a wonder. The Jews, they have seen that great miracle. And the name of Jesus that is going from mouth to mouth. All that power of that Son of God, so that we can read that many of the Jews, they believed on Jesus because of that miracle. Oh, this is much better. This is much better. This is the way that it has to go. And then the Lord Jesus, he has gone up unto Jerusalem, riding upon that colt. And that people, they have spread those palm branches. And they have cried, "Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Oh, those disciples, they have gone first. Those disciples, they have cried the loudest. Oh, their hearts, they are so glad because they have looked for this for a long time. Oh, they love the Lord Jesus and they believe in the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus, He is the King. And one day He is going to show forth Himself as the King. And now, oh, the Greeks, listen. They come. We would see Jesus. Now it goes right. Oh, they thought it was going all wrong. But no, now we see. Now we see. Now is come the time. He is going to sit upon the throne. The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And now the Lord Jesus, He is also speaking about it. And when the disciples, they hear it, hold in their heart that is leaping for joy. They've been waiting for this out of love for their master, out of some love for themselves. Because they also want a place. And they are going to sit on the right and on the left of the Lord Jesus. And now the Lord Jesus, He is speaking about it. How much instruction is necessary for God's people? What a love. What a zeal. Where does that all come from? It comes from a new heart, boys and girls. A new heart. A new heart. Do you ask for a new heart? That is where that comes from. And when the Lord will give you a new heart, then you will also learn with those disciples to love the Lord. But do you know we can have much love and we can have much zeal without knowledge? And that's the Lord Jesus. He must give to his disciples instruction. Because if you people of the Lord, if you had to say what way you had to go in your life, how would it be? Would that be a way that was closer to the narrow way or to the broad way? Which one? Because those disciples, they wanted to go in a way of continual increasing from step to step. That Christ may be glorified. And that they may be glorified with Him. Children of Israel delivered out of the land of Egypt. And they thought, soon we are there. You know how they would go there? They would go there without a wilderness. They would go there in 3 days. They would have never put that 40 years journey in between. Oh, they are looking to receive the promise. The hour is come when the Son of Man should be glorified. Indeed, the Lord Jesus said it is going to happen. It has to happen because it is promised. God is not a man that He should lie. God is not the Son of Man that He should repent. The hour is come. But He says, how? How now is that Son of Man going to be glorified? That is, my disciples. That is now the instruction that you need to receive. This we see in the second place. It is not going to be the way of the disciples. But He says that Son of Man that will be glorified in my way. Jesus answered them saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Thus, for that instruction, the Lord Jesus uses a likeness. He talks, children, about a seed. You know what a seed is, right? A corn of wheat that is a little grain. So, pretty soon, we hope that it becomes warmer out. And when it becomes nice and warm out, maybe your mother, your father, they begin to dig up the garden. And maybe you can help them. And then you are going to see that your mother and father, they have tiny, tiny little seeds. You know, a plant is a very wonderful thing. It is a very beautiful thing, a plant. Couldn't you imagine if in all this world there were no trees? No trees, just rocks, dirt. No plants, no grass, no bushes, no flowers, no leaves. What a wonderful thing is a plant for beauty. And not only a wonderful thing for beauty, but here the Lord Jesus, he speaks about a corn of wheat. Thus, what a wonderful thing is a plant of wheat. It is not only beautiful for our eyes, but it is beautiful for its usefulness, because that bread that is a staple of our life, that is to keep us alive. And therefore, the Lord Jesus compares himself even to be the bread of life. And so what a beautiful thing is a plant that begins to grow, and when it shoots forth its buds, and when they open, beautiful leaves, beautiful flower, and then, oh, the fruit, and then the ripening, and then the nourishment. Oh, who can imagine, who can really say what a beautiful thing is such a plant. And now you take on the one side that seed, children, it will ask you. On the one side you have that seed in your hand. And now on the other side, you know because you're old enough, you have seen it before, what that seed turns into, that beautiful plant, and the fruit that comes out of it. What a wonderful thing. But now we ask you, how alone can it get there? How does its seed ever become such a beautiful plant? If we were in school, I would say you raise your hand, but we are not in school. But I like to ask you, children, because the answer is so easy, right? The smallest one, they can tell me the answer. You say there is only one way. That is right. There's only one way. And that is that little seed that first has to be planted in the ground. No other way. Because as long as you do not plant that seed, it will never grow into that beautiful plant. Is that not so easy? Will you remember that, children? Will you take that home with you? And will you remember that for the rest of your life? For the rest of your life. There is no other way, boys and girls. That seed, when that does not go into the ground, it needs to die there. It needs to be covered with the earth. it needs, as it were, to perish there, underneath the ground. That is the way of the seed. That is the way of the grain. If you did not know that, the way of that grain, and what was necessary, if you didn't know that, and you saw that farmer take all that seed and put that in his tractor and go over that field and put all that seed in the ground, you would say, what a foolish man, wouldn't you? He has just thrown it all away. But that farmer knows something, and you know it too. That farmer knows that if this does not happen, if this does not happen, then there will be no life. If this does not happen, there shall be no fruit. Christ, he says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. What does he say to his disciples? What does he say to his people? You look for that glory. You look for that glory for my sake. You look for the fruit of that glory. And that is now also for your own sake. All my people, it is coming. It is coming. It is awaiting. Actually, it is coming very soon. Yes, the hour is come. It is here already that the Son of Man should be glorified. What a glory it will be, my people. Will be a glory greater than you know. It will be a glory greater than you can imagine. But we have to get there. And how we get there is a way that you do not expect. Because the way to life and the way to glory, that is only through death. Can be no fruits outside of death. But, he says, through death, much fruit. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. There are people, they say it was not necessary that Christ should die. No, he had to suffer because there's much suffering in the world, and he needed to set an example for us that we should follow him in meekness through that way of suffering in this world, so we can come through this world unto glory. But he did not really need to die. It is impossible. He is the beloved Son of God, his only begotten Son. And if it was not necessary that Christ should die, he had never died. He died because it was necessary. Because except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. Why was it necessary that he die? It was necessary because of justice. It was necessary because of sin. Because you and I have brought sin into this world. And because the wages of sin is death. And that as soon as sin has entered into this world, death has also entered into this world. then it was necessary that the Son of God should die. Why? Because there is no man that can come out of it. Because there is no man that can fulfill that punishment that is due to the sin of man and come forth from it. Then it had to be that the Son of God should actually atone, that He should actually stand in the place of His church. Outside of the death of Christ, there is no life. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. No fruit outside of His death. Much fruit through His death. And what is that fruit? That fruit is the glory of the Lord. That is the ultimate desire and aim of the Lord in all things. His own honor. His own glory. And He will be glorified. The death of Christ, that is the glory of His priesthood. Oh, how many years has that church not seen the shadows of that death? In all the sacrifices of the priesthood, and look forward to the fulfillment. That hour when that great high priest would sacrifice that greatest sacrifice ever that ever shall take place in the history of this world. That is the very glory of His priesthood. The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Oh, it is now, in this hour, that the kingship of that Son of Man that shall be glorified. Oh, my disciples, you do not realize it. You want me to sit upon this earthly throne. But what you do not realize is that I am now going to do the greatest act that a king has ever done. My disciples, I am about to destroy the enemy of the church of God. My disciples, I am about to fulfill what was promised so long ago. It shall bruise thy head. That through death I should destroy him that has the power of death. That is the devil. The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And then He is looking also through that death. Oh, He is looking forward because He says, I am now going to be buried in the ground. Just like that seed. And then there is going to come up a plant. It is going to be the plant of my church. It is going to be a seed that shall serve me. It is going to be a people that are set apart by the Lord, a peculiar people. They are going to glorify God. For God, it is in His love, God so loved the world, that that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, that love of God that is going to be glorified in that plant that is going to come up because of this seed falling into that ground and dying. And they are going to magnify. They are going to magnify the name of my Father. That is my desire. They are going to magnify his love. They are going to magnify his holiness. That he could not pass over sin. They are going to magnify his impartiality. That he spared not even his own Son, but he delivered him up for us all. Oh, how they are going to glorify my Father. And they are going to glorify me. Or they are going to glorify also my power. That I have gone through. That I have gone through even unto death to give myself my whole life. Oh, they are going to magnify my name because that love that is living in my heart. Then they are going to say of me that there is no love like that love who gave himself for his friends. Because scarcely for a righteous man one wouldn't die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, the hour is come. The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. How many years? A church waiting, a church looking, a church depending on the fulfillment of that promise of the Lord. Let us sing. 302, stanza 2. The people will be gladly thine when thou shalt come victorious. In holy beauty thou shalt shine like morning fair and glorious. And what follows two and of 302. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come, that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Thus, the Lord Jesus, he says to his disciples, he says to his people, you now, you have to follow me. If any man serve me, let him follow me. In the next chapter here, then we read that the Lord Jesus says, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterward. And then we read that Peter, he says, Lord, whither goest thou, and why can I not I follow thee now? He says, I am ready to lay down my life for thy sake. He says, I am ready to go into death. Was he? Spirit was willing. The flesh was weak. No, Peter could not die for Jesus. Jesus would die for Peter. Therefore, the Lord Jesus said to that enemy, when they came against him in the garden, he says, Here am I, and let these go their way. No, Peter could not, and that church could not follow Christ in that death that he had to die. He would do it in their stead. And yet, he says, Thou shalt follow me afterward. What is that following? He says, He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. He says, You must hate your life. Thus we have euthanasia. They are people, they want to take their own life. Do we agree with that then, young people? Because the Lord Jesus, he says we must hate our life in this world. No. No, we must not hate our life as the Lord has given to us our life in this world. That is a misinterpretation. That life that is a gift from God. Do you value your life? And if you ever have a thought, young people, in despair in this life, that you will take your own life, then you can be sure that it is a thought that comes out of hell. It is from the devil. It is from the devil. There is, young people, no despair from the side of the Lord. None. And therefore, go on your knees. When your heart is overwhelmed, then we hope you may find a place on your knees before the Lord. And what a surprise that you will find. Because it is for those who have sinned against him. Remember it. They must hate their life in this world. What does that mean? We have also a carnal life. We have a sensual life. We have an earthly life. And the Lord, he says that that his people, they must hate all that carnality, all that sensuality, everything that is cleaving to the earth, everything that is cleaving to the world, because they have a new heart, boys and girls. They have a new heart. Do you have a new heart? But they also have a flesh. They also have that which is still cleaving to everything that is here below. How do you know if you have a new heart? Well, then it is that you have a burden with that old heart. You have a burden with that heart that is cleaving to the world. That is your grief. That is your sorrow. Like the Apostle Paul, he says, "The good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do." He would like to deliver himself from it, but he could not deliver himself. But he had a desire. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Oh, that body of death. Why did he want to be delivered? Because he says, to be carnally minded, that is death. But to be spiritually minded, that is life. That is peace. And he says, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be." What does that mean? If that means when they may follow him, they may be with him. Then he speaks about communion. He speaks about a blessed communion with himself that is already to be experienced by his people in this world. When? When their heart is clinging to the world? When their footsteps are walking after the world? No. But he says, when they are following me, or when they may be spiritually minded, he says, then they shall be with me. Then they will experience something of my presence, of my nearness. Oh, thus that church, they must follow Christ afterwards. They must follow him into death. That is, they need to die to everything of the flesh. They need to die to all that is carnal. Why? Because he says, my kingdom that is not of this world. Oh, they say that I could die to it. Oh, that my love, that my affections, they would not cleave to everything that was here below. But that my treasure may be in heaven. That my heart may be there also. That is the most blessed place, the most comfortable place for God's people in this world. That spiritual mindedness, that is life. Verily, verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. That was not only for Christ, that is also for his people. Because when that church that dies to the world, then there is fruit in their life. Disciples, they were so glad with the hosannas in this world. The disciples, they were so glad when those Greeks, they are asking after the Lord Jesus. But now the Lord Jesus, he says, you look for the wrong glory. And they will die to it. they will die to it because they are his own people. Why will they die to it? Because the Lord Jesus tells them they have to die to it. Because they are ready to go into death and follow him into death. Because they are ready to lay down all that is carnal and fleshly in this world. Is that why that church will die to it? There is resistance. It is just the opposite. The Lord Jesus went forth into death. And God's children, they withdraw from it. Not so, Lord, this shall not be unto thee, or unto us. Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Or it is the greatest blessing when the Lord does not give us our way. It is the greatest blessing when the Lord works through. When the Lord does not allow that we walk on that broad way. But when he places us on that narrow way, against our flesh. Why? Because the love of the world that is a hindrance to the communion with Christ. It is an offense unto him. He says, do I have now to share myself with the world? In the heart of my people? Christ went in the grave. All then the disciples, they died to everything, every thought of the carnality of the kingdom of Christ. And Christ went into death. And all the earthly thoughts of that kingdom ceased. And then there was fruit. Blessed fruit that followed when he rose from the death and when he may begin to appear unto his disciples and he may begin to expound unto them the scriptures and their heart may burn within them when he is talking with them by the way, when he may appear unto them. And when everything begins to come together, and when that Spirit of the Lord is sent forth on that day of Pentecost, all then there is communion. A communion like they have never experienced communion before. And then they went with him to that mount, and they watched him go up from this earth in his flesh, his human nature taken away from them in heaven. And then what do we read? They rejoiced. They returned with great joy. What happened to all the earthly thoughts? What happened to all the carnal thoughts? They were done. They were done. All dead to everything that was carnal and receiving a blessed, blessed spiritual communion. Verily, verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Where is your fruit, people of the Lord? Where is your fruit? Do you know what? Do you know why that we have so little fruit? Because we are not dead to the world. That is why. Paul says to Timothy, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the things of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Oh, let not the church of God love their life in this world, because then they lose that communion with him. The Lord Jesus showed his disciples that way to glory. That was that he had to go down into death. But he showed them also that way that they may participate. That they may participate in that glory. And that was their death to everything that was here below. What have you lost? What have you lost if you lost it all? And you have a hope of eternal life. Oh, congregation, life. Life, life that is through death. That is the way in the way of justification. Dying to that law. But here also in that way of sanctification. Dying to this world. Do you love the world? It has to become different. It has to become different. That we begin to hate our life in this world. Say, I cannot do that. No, you cannot do that. Because it's a love. Who can take away the love that is in our heart? Who can do it? The Lord can do it. Do you ask for that? Will you ask for that, young people? Maybe I don't want to ask for that. Because I love the world. I don't want that love to be taken away. What do I have left then? If I do not have the world. And if I do not have the love of the world. Don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to ask earnestly, uprightly. Lord, rip it. Oh, rip it out of my heart. Because when it is not there, you will not love it anymore. You will not love it anymore. And yet it will never all be gone. Because God's children, they are carrying that flesh. They are carrying that flesh through this world until the day that they die. Then there is warfare. But soon it will be done. Paul, he says that this body is going to be sown in the earth. And it is sown in corruption. And it is raised in incorruption. Is that not a comfort, people of the Lord? When that corruption, that is the burden of your heart, he says it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in natural body. Oh, that natural body. But he says it is raised a spiritual body. How often are God's people not afraid of death? Why, people of the Lord, are you so afraid to die? Why? Because we are unacquainted with what is on the other side. But that great husbandman, he is not unacquainted with that. He knows that when that seed that goes down in that grave, then there will be fruit, because it will be raised a spiritual body. It will be a beautiful plant. A beautiful plant. There will be nothing of corruption anymore. There will be nothing of sin anymore when it is raised incorruptible. A spiritual body. Oh, eternity. Eternity will tell people of the Lord. Wherefore, lift up your heads, because your redemption that draweth nigh, a deliverance from the warfare. Amen. Lord of heaven and of earth, oh, cause us to know that warfare. Cause us to be grieved because of this corrupt body, because of this natural body, that we may desire that day that it would be sown in the earth to be raised incorruptible, that it may be raised a spiritual body, no more carnality, no more earthly mindedness. Oh, remember us, young and old together. Forgive all our sins. Bless thy word. For Jesus' sake, amen. Our closing psalter is 125, 1, 2, and 6. O royal bride, give heed, and to my words attend. For Christ the King forsake the world and every former friend. 1, 2, and 6 of 125.
Oh,
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.